Today is the first Sunday after Trinity Sunday. The gospel reading appointed for today is from St. Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. The account of Lazarus and the rich man is very direct. If anyone would dare to doubt that there is an eternal punishment for sins, one only has to listen to Christ's words here to hear the horrible reality of the condemnation which awaits all who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The rich man lived as if this transient life were what mattered. Thus Abraham tells the rich man, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. The rich man did not listen to the word of God which brought such comfort to Lazarus. And yet, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Lazarus, who listened to Moses and the prophets, and believed God's word, received the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. It is only faith in Christ which gives rise to true love of God and love of neighbor. God gives us all good things, including love of God and love of our neighbor. The words of Jeremiah 9 sting at the heart as surely in our generation as they did in the time of the prophets. For there we read, Thus says the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Ours is an age when men are obsessed with their accomplishments. Man has become very smug and very proud of himself. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And yet our age's self-appointed wise men, the scientists, the philosophers, and the liberal theologians, glory in the wonders of their own minds as they imagine it. They confidently declare that man is nothing but a cosmic mistake, a hairless ape who climbed out of the trees. They say that ethics are nothing but man's opinions, changeable according to the whims of the times. They disparage the wisdom of the ancients and talk about their own advances as the world sinks into senseless slaughter. Growing poverty and destruction of the global environment. Boasting in one's wisdom is a grievous sin when one is truly wise. Boasting in one's wisdom when you have no wisdom is both tragic and comic. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, and yet our civilization has swaggered with its might for generations. And yet glorying in might is something which descends into every heart. Glorying in our ability to get things done, for the ability to impose one's wishes on another person. love of our brothers should be a good measure for us. As we hear in 1 John 4, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. To rule and not to serve is the inclination of the heart which glories in its own might. How much good might be accomplished by using power and authority for the spread of the gospel and for the bodily needs of our neighbor. And yet the sinful inclination of man is to use might to his own glory and not to the glory of God. The abuse of might can be seen in nations, but also in individuals. Lovelessness toward the brother is only the overflow of a heart which imagines it is not utterly reliant on God. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. And yet that is precisely what the rich man in today's gospel does. He glories in his riches. No doubt he imagined that he deserved such wealth. His displays of opulence don't seem to have troubled him in the slightest. The rich man had no concern for Lazarus, his fellow Jew, nor did he listen to the words of Moses and the prophets. And yet in the flames, how quickly he cries to Father Abraham. The Large Catechism teaches concerning the first commandment, many a one thinks that he has God and everything in abundance when he has money and possessions, in which he trusts and boasts so arrogantly as to care for no one. Lo, such a man also has a god, mammon by name, that is, money and possessions, on which he sets all his heart, and which is also the most common idol on earth. He who has money and possessions feels secure, and is as joyful and undismayed as though he were in the midst of paradise. On the other hand, he who has none doubts, and is despondent as though he knew of no god. For very few are to be found who are of good cheer, and who neither mourn nor complain if they have not mammon. This care and desire for money adheres and clings to our nature, even to the grave. That's how it was for the rich man, to the extent that he even thought about God. He has no doubts that he was favored by God because of his wealth. Rather than using his money and possessions in service of the needs of Lazarus, he stuffed himself, dressing in high fashion, and gave no thought to his soul. Now the rich man was, in fact, twice the pauper that Lazarus was. Lazarus had no earthly wealth, but he did not despair as we are tempted to do when money is tight. No, Lazarus had wealth beyond dreams in the grace of God in Christ Jesus, because he heard the words of Moses and the prophets and believed the gracious promises of God. The wealth of the rich man could be lost in a moment, and is always lost at death. The wealth which Lazarus possesses is not lost, but received more fully at death and completely at the resurrection of the dead. Theologian Francis Schaeffer observed a generation ago that modern Americans are concerned for two things, personal peace and affluence, and that they are prepared to purchase both at the expense of their children and grandchildren. This attitude is contrary to the teachings of Holy Scripture. I tell you now, if you gasp and fret endlessly at the concerns of this life, they will eat you up. There is no sin in desiring that God would give us our daily bread. Of course not. The Lord tells us to pray for daily bread. But fear for daily bread can consume a man and fill his heart with such doubts and worries that he is tempted to doubt God's good providence toward him. What we thought was easy to believe on a full stomach, we see more clearly when the belly is empty, when the illusion of taking care of ourselves is stripped away, and we see that we hang by a thread and are only sustained by the grace of God. Then we are tempted to thrash around and put ourselves in greater danger than we were in before. Thus Luther comments as follows, "The person who handles his poverty properly and with patience, content that it is God's will, as St. Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. His poverty is a precious thing and a preparation for eternal life. By the same token, when a wealthy person perceives how God has blessed him with possessions and resolves that because God has bestowed riches upon him, he will rightly use his wealth and become neither proud nor greedy. He is ready to share his goods if and when a poor man comes to him for help in time of need. But Luther complained that when people imagined that they were buying their salvation, they were more willing to give than after they'd heard the gospel, and imagined that they could enjoy God's grace while despising the needs of their neighbor. Such is, I fear, the danger in every generation. Care for the needs of the neighbor, when it arises from the right motivation, is the fruit of a faith which truly believes that God loves you and cares for you, and has already given you more than you could ever rightly imagine meriting. What can we claim for ourselves before God? Nothing. Whether we are rich or poor in the eyes of the world, we have more than we deserve on account of our sin. We deserve death and condemnation, but the Lord God has chosen in his loving kindness and mercy to make rich beyond measure all who believe in Jesus Christ. We have been proud, self-centered, vain, covetous, and poor in stewardship of the many gifts of God which, when it comes to the service of our neighbor. On account of these sins, and the rest of the fruit of original sin in our body and soul, we deserve to be punished eternally, and would be so punished unless we repent. But God's ways are not like our ways. He declares, "But I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight." We have failed to care for the needs of our brethren. God feeds and cares for the whole creation before we even think to ask. We have lacked love. The triune God so loves us that the Son of God became flesh to suffer and die for us. We have been slow to share the love of God proclaimed in the Holy Gospel. God has sent that gospel forth into the world so that all who hear and believe will be saved. As God's holy word declares, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." God gives us all good things, including love of God and love of our neighbor. Through his suffering, death, and resurrection, Jesus has paid for our salvation and gives eternal life to all who repent and believe. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ are joined to bread and wine. Holy Scripture tells us that we have been justified by his blood, and now Jesus gives us that blood to drink. Indeed, Jesus declares in John 6, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Examining ourselves, as St. Paul exhorts us, we come to the altar repentant, and desiring to do that which is pleasing in God's sight. The Christian desires for the Holy Spirit to transform him, desires for God to change us from what we have been to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have been made partakers of that new life through baptism into Christ Jesus, and how eagerly we await the life of the world to come. God's word assures us, "Having heard Moses, the prophets, the apostles, and above all the words of Christ Jesus himself, we believe." And we await deliverance from this world of poverty and sorrows. We await the joys which will be found when we behold our Savior face to face. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all them that put their trust in Thee, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without Thee, grant us the help of Thy grace, that in keeping Thy commandments we may please Thee both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to visit them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Salem Lutheran Church is located approximately 2 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church or this broadcast, you may call the congregation at 533-2330. This broadcast was made possible through the generous support with the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship.